Inside Outside. Türkiye'nin iç ve dış politikası Türkiye'li ve yabancı uzmanlar tarafından yorumlanıyor. Hazırlayan ve sunan Ekrem Edi Güzeldere.
Günaydın, good morning. Bugün tekrar uluslararası siyasete dönelim. Türkiye-İspanya ilişkilerini ve konuğumuzun son aylarda yaptığı işlerin birkaç örneğini tartışacağız. Mantıklı olarak bunu İstanbul'da yaşayan bir İspanyol ile yapacağız. El País gazetesinin Türkiye muhabiri Blanca López Aranguena bugün bizimle beraber stüdyoda. Belki İspanyol yerine İspanyalı desek daha uygun çünkü kendisi Galicyalı. La Coruña'lı Galicia eyaleti, İspanya'nın kuzeybatısında, Portekiz'in kuzeyinde ve bildiğiniz gibi Galicialılar, Katalan ve Baskların yanında ulusal bir azınlık. Blanca Hanım önce siyaset bilimi okumuş, sonra El País gazetesinin gazetecilik masterını da bitirmiş ve öyle 2008 yılından beri El País'te çalışıyor. 2010 yılında aşağı yukarı 1,5 sene önce İstanbul'a gelmiş ve yabancı muhabirlerin tercih ettiği Cihangir ya da Arnavutköy'de değil Kasımpaşa'ya yerleşmiş. El País'in dışında da La Voz de Galicia, Galicia'nın sesi, yerel bir gazete içinde yazıyor. Today we return to international politics, once again bilateral relations, but with a country we have not covered so far. We'll talk about Turkey-Spain relations and some examples of recent articles of today's guest, which is quite logically a correspondent from Spain, Blanca López Aranguena, the Turkey correspondent of the Spanish daily El País. Blanca is from La Coruña, which the soccer fans, of course, know well from Champions League and other activities. But for the others, it's located in the Galicia, or probably in English Galicia region, in the northwest of Spain, north of Portugal. She first studied political science and then the journalism masters of El País, so that she has been working with El País since 2008 in Spain in the Valencia office of the paper. In 2010, about 1.5 years ago, she came to Istanbul covering a broad range of topics. There has not been an El País correspondent in Turkey for many years. Besides El País, she also writes for the regional paper La Voz de Galicia or The Voice of Galicia. Welcome and good morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me here.
Turkey-Spain relations are not so much talked about because they are neither big problems as with some of our neighboring countries or with Spain right now, nor is there a significant Turkish or Kurdish migration to Spain. Spain has a lot of immigration in the past decade, but largely from northern African countries, Morocco and so on.
Exactly.
However, I mean, Spain under the Zapatero government was one of the strongest supporters of Turkey's EU membership. And in 2005, then Spanish Prime Minister proposed under the UN, the Alliance of Civilizations. The co-sponsor of the initiative was Turkish Prime Minister Erdogan, so that the first two annual conferences of this alliance took place in Madrid in 2008 and in Istanbul 2009. Zapatero and the Spanish socialists ruled the country since 2004 until November 2011, so until recently, when the People's Party under Mariano Rajoy won a huge election victory with 44% against roughly 28 of the socialists, which means that the People's Party governs with absolute majority. The new government was voted in on 22 December, a bit more than a month ago. So what can we expect from the new Spanish government concerning maybe foreign policy, its view on EU enlargement, and if it's possible to say already on its view on Turkey and the broader region?
Well, this, as you said everything perfectly. As you said, the government has been on power for one month and a half already, but he came up with so many problems. Right now, Spain, the situation is very complicated. So what the government is focused on is right now is to solve the situation in Spain. Let me just tell you a little bit what is going on. We have they have three main problems that they are focused now. The first of all is the huge deficit that we have in the accounts. So the what the government wanted to do is to reduce it to 4%, but now it seems unlikely. It seems that at the end of this year is going to be 6%, which is a bit higher than but what we were expecting. So that's going to be a problem that we're going to carry on for the next years. Then a very big issue is the unemployment rate, right now there are around 5,300,000 people unemployed in Spain. The average is 22.8%, and it just came out last week. So it's the highest unemployment rate that we've had since democracy. So it's a very, very big issue. And
the unemployment rate of the youth is especially high. I've just talked to Ömer Madra. He quoted here from today's newspapers. It says it's 50%
It's 50%. It's the highest in the European Union. I mean, we have so many young people emigrating from Spain. It's really crazy. I mean, now they're starting to call us the lost generation, people from my age. I'm 28. Mm. So because we are very highly educated, but we don't find a job. Mm. So the government right now has to deal with that. And also we have elections in Andalusia, which is the region in the south. They're going to come in March. Yes, in March. So we have these three things that the government is focused on. So in international relations, let's say in Turkey and Spain, what is happening now, in my opinion, since we have the deficit problem, Mariano Rajoy, which is from the Conservative Party, he said to Brussels that they're going to cope with with what they are asking for us. They're going to cope with the deficits. They're going to reduce it. So he's been traveling to right now. Today he's in Brussels to have this reunion with the heads of the states from UA. So and now, right now, as we all know, UA is the head of the UA is France and Germany. EU. UA in Spanish. Yes, you're right. Sorry about that. So, as you said, the head now is Germany and France. So, I think my opinion is that right now, what Spain is going to do is to, we have this expression in Spanish, is to jump through the hoop. Do you have that in English also?
I don't know, but it's understandable, I think.
Okay, you have to, what they say, we'll have to do it. So, concerning Turkey, I'm not saying that we're going to have the same position, for example, in the terms of going into the UA, in the European Union. I'm not saying we're going to have the same position as France and Germany, but I'm sure we are not going to be so enthusiastic as the past government was. That's my opinion. But as I said, right now they're mainly focused on local issues. So we'll see how it goes. They've been on power for one month only.
It's of course, with a new prime minister, there's also a new foreign minister. The man has a really long name, José Manuel García Margallo y Marfil. He was, is interesting, he was for a really long time in the European Parliament. He was from 1994 until the elections in the European Parliament, but there he was in the Committee on Economic and Monetary Affairs, and substitute in Committee on International Trade and in the relations with Central America. In Germany, at least, a country that I know quite well, if you are so long in the European Parliament, you are more or less unknown in your home country. Do we know anything about the position of the new foreign minister and where he presents himself?
He hasn't talked much yet. And as you said, he's been in European institutions for a long time. Before he was selected, it was a big surprise. Everybody thought it was going to be Moratinos, which was he had been a past in the international relations. I mean, he was a past minister. So all the guesses were for Moratinos, but it wasn't the choice of the government. And he hasn't talked much yet, so we don't really know. We're expecting his position, what he's going to do. But, for example, he hasn't traveled much. He hasn't gone yet to America Latina, which is quite weird, because Spanish relations with America Latina, they are very, very important. And normally the government takes big care of them. And he hasn't talked much about them either. So we don't, and right now the Spanish public doesn't care very much about what Spain is going to do outside the European Union. We are mainly focused on what they're going to do for our country, because the situation is very critical right now.
Okay, then let's leave political relations, but they're also economic but and cultural relations.
Can I say something?
Of course.
for example, the Alianza de Civilizaciones, the Civil Alliance, as you said before, mm-hmm. On Friday, there was an Erdogan meeting with Jorge Sampaio, which is the ex-president from Portugal. Mm-hmm. They were meeting in Istanbul for 1 hour. There were no press conference afterwards, so we don't really know what they talked about, what the conclusion of the talks were. But just saying, there's still conversations on this matter. We don't know if it's going to end this alliance of civilization, what is going to happen, but there's still talks going on. Mm-hmm. So that's a good sign.
That continues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's a good sign.
Okay, then besides these political relations, there are growing and thriving, let's say, economic and cultural relations between the two countries. Sometimes concerning the economy, the Spanish companies and Spanish involvement in Turkey is not so visible, because sometimes the name is not so that you refer to it as being Spanish. What would be the biggest investors or companies active in Turkey?
Okay, there are around 300 companies, Spanish companies in Turkey. It looks a lot, but they're not that much. For example, I think there are three times as more Italian companies in Turkey than Spanish companies. But I think it's changing, because we need to find new markets for our firms. And about your question, you said, they're quite known companies. We have, for example, in the textile field, we have Mango, which is, the owner of Mango is Turkish, but is a Spanish company. We have Inditex with Sara, Maximo Dutti, Uterke, Sara Home. There are many shops in Istanbul, I've seen them. They are a bit more expensive than in Spain, the items, I have to say. But there are many here, and I think they're quite popular. For example, is this a sign that this they want to grow this relationship in the text, for example? Because I just heard recently Turkish Airlines is opening a new destination to La Coruña, where the headquarters of Inditex are.
Huh.
They're going to open in spring, I think, this year, that's for sure. Oh. And it's going to be La Coruña Bilbao, which is a town in the Basque country, this very important industrial town. So they're going to cover La Coruña Bilbao and then Istanbul. So that's a sign that there's something going on, and there's going to be more cooperation between Inditex and Turkey. Then we also have, I'm sure people know Diaz, I think it's called in Turkey, because it's with the Sabancı Holding. Diaz, a chain of supermarkets, and I think in Turkey they have 374 shops in the whole country. And the president of Diaz is in Turkey, in China, but mainly also in France and Latin America. But they've chosen also Turkey to open shops. And there is, for example, other example that pops in my mind is the high-speed train between Istanbul and Ankara. There was a Spanish company it was the Spanish company that sent the trains, the 12 units of trains, the high-speed trains, and they were also doing the training for the train drivers. How do you call them? The train drivers?
I think so,
the train drivers. So they were
that's very successful. I read last week that I think in Saudi Arabia, Medina and Mecca, that's also the train ride is done by also the Spanish companies. So they're very, very successful also abroad.
Mm-hmm.
I read that in October 2011, so also recently, many big Spanish companies came to Turkey and met with counterparts. I have the list of the companies, and I mean, some are, I think, really interesting for the Turkish market. Spain is one of the leading countries in wind energy. There's one of the big Gestamp. It doesn't sound very Spanish, but Gestamp was Gestamp, here.
No, it doesn't.
Then the Turks describe it as the leader in environmental technologies. Thetko or Setko was here. And also concerning trains, there were several companies. So it seems that this is going to continue. We have seen with Greece that more and more Greek companies, because of the economic crisis, mm-hmm. are looking for Turkish partners.
Mm-hmm.
Can you sense something like that the Spanish crisis leads to?
Absolutely. For example, in the construction, we are seeing so many studios, architecture studios, that are becoming new partnerships with Turkish studios to invest in Turkey and to build in Turkey. We have this economical boom in construction. We have the expertise. We have the architects that are very well qualified, very high qualification, but there's no job for them. So they have to go and look for new places to work. And Turkey is one of them, for sure. Mm.
Then let's move to cultural cooperation or cultural exchange. You told me that there was a novel, Passion Turca, which had its effect, but there's now also an association called like that. Maybe you can summarize that shortly for our listeners.
What do you want me to summarize, the novel or the association?
No, how it came about from the novel to the association.
Okay.
Without getting into details.
Okay. The novel, just let me tell a little bit about the novel. It's about, it was a very big thing in Spain. It's written by Antonio Gala, which is a very well-known writer, and it talks the story about a 40-year-old lady that comes to Turkey and falls in love with a Turkish carpet seller, and she goes absolutely crazy about him. He leaves her family, her country, to go and live with him. That's why it's called the Turkish Passion, La Pasión Turca.
Uh-huh.
And now there is an association called La Pasión Turca also. They have offices in Madrid, Portugal, Brazil, but there is one in Istanbul, and that's the only one they have in the Mediterranean area. Which is funny, because what they do is they want to promote the Mediterranean culture around the world, and they've used this name Pasión Turca for that, which it shows how important relationships between Spain and Turkey are, how in the culture way. And for example, to Spain, I just want to say Monica Molina is a very important Spanish singer. She's coming to Istanbul this month, for example, and is being brought by La Pasión Turca. And they've been, for example, many Turkish singers or groups that they've gone to Spain to perform in Madrid or Barcelona, such as Aynur or Taksim Trio or Arem, groups like that. And Pasión Turca is working very, very well, very, very well. They've brought Paco de Lucía, for example, Estrella Morente to Turkey, and all the concerts, they're a big success. So it just shows how the Spanish and the Turkish culture, although we are very far away from one another, we are very linked to one another because of the Mediterranean. I mean, we are the front door of the Mediterranean, Spain, and Turkey, let's say, could be the back door of the sea. So we take care of the sea in a way, and we are connected by it.
Yeah, and I'll add that the growing interest is also shown in really growing numbers of tourists. Mm-hmm. 10 years ago, it was 93,000 Spanish citizens who entered Turkey. In 2005, it was 200,000. And in 2010, there are no numbers for 2011, it was 322,000. Mm-hmm. So it's a growing number. When I talked here with a Dutch journalist, she told me that 5-6 years ago there were two Dutch journalists in Istanbul, and now there are seven or so.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember that some years ago when I came to Istanbul, there was one Spanish journalist. Now, how many are there? And
now we are five. Let me just think. Yes, five. We are five journalists, one from each main newspaper.
So that means that Turkey has become more interesting for the Spanish audience.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
So there was, you're not the first El País correspondent to Turkey, but there was a long time there was none. So,
exactly. In the 90s, there was one person that worked here for a few years. And then for many years, I think a decade, we had no one. There was one person that would come for to cover special issues or special occasions, elections, referendums, things like that. But everything was written in Madrid, which is not a very nice way to cover such a complicated country as Turkey. So recently they decided to send me, and I'm here since 2010, mid-August 2010.
So what are the top issues? What is most asked for? What is most interesting for the Spanish?
For the readers.
Yeah.
Well, you have to, at least in my newspaper, since there's been no correspondent for so long, you had to teach them a little bit. I mean, you have to make them interested in Turkey again, to be used to have a daily news. So first of all, you have to start with cultural issues, which are more familiar to the Spanish public, or social issues. For example, recently I wrote this story, a funny story about it was American lady that would came back to Turkey from 50 years. He was here 50 years ago, and he stole some stones from Hagia Sophia, and he was feeling very guilty, and she gave them back 50 years later, being an old lady. And those kind of things, people from Spain, they like. It's a nice story. It's like a tale, fairy tale, with happy ending. And then they start reading, okay, well, Hagia Sophia, what is Hagia Sophia? And they get interested into culture. So you have to you have to tell them little stories, and then they get more interesting. Once you do that, you can go with complicated stories. So, for example, in the political field, which in Turkey is quite complicated for a Spanish reader, there is, for example, the Kurdish situation is very followed, especially because we also have the Basque issue. It's not similar, but it's related. They have many things in common. So the Spanish public is quite aware of what is going on in the Kurdish issue in Turkey.
There are, I think, there would be several interesting topics also to compare between the two countries. Change from authoritarian to democratic system.
Mm-hmm.
Or Spanish way of dealing with multilingual education, decentralization.
Well, the decentralization, I think, is more the Turkish public that looks up to Spain.
Yeah, that's what
But for example, the authoritarian situation, yes, because we had a dictatorship 40 years ago. We've done so many improvement in so little time. So what is happening now, the evolution that Turkey is experience right now, is very interesting for the Spanish public. But what is interesting is we don't understand why it's taking so long, why it's so complicated. I mean, and that's the hard thing to explain to the Spanish public, the gray parts of politics. That's in Turkey. That's the difficult part.
But not only for the foreign correspondents.
Yes.
That's for everybody difficult. Before we get to the, let's say, last point, which is some of your work. I mean, I said in Turkish that you are from one of the regions that also has a national minority.
Mm-hmm.
So growing up in that region, how much Galician is there in schools, TV, radio, newspapers, literature?
Well, I speak Galician. You learn it at school. You have 4 hours per week of your local language. That was my school. But there are also some schools that have half of the education in Galician, half of the education in Spanish. So people at the end of high school, they end up with a good knowledge of the local language. You study literature, you study the variation in Galicia, in the region, which is a very small region, but it has a lot of variation in the language. So you study that thing, and also is you have so many people in the countryside that speak Galician. Mm. There are the main cities, which is La Coruña, where I come from, and Vigo. They speak mainly Castellano, Spanish. Mm-hmm. But in the rest of the region, it's only Galician. For example, I speak Galician with my grandparents. They don't know how to speak Spanish. So I had to learn also at home.
But there's television, radio, there's newspapers in Galician.
Yes, yes, yes. And you have newspaper, you have a television chain, TVG, Televisión mm-hmm. Gallega. Mm-hmm. And you have many radio stations that are in Galician. And that's very normal. I mean, it's not such a big deal for us anymore.
good to know. We have time is flying by. Let's get to at least one of your recent examples of your work, which is not related to hard politics.
Okay.
You made a story about Islamic fashion, and
yes.
I don't know how that works in international media, but Der Spiegel, so a big German magazine,
uh-huh.
they had last week a big story on the magazine Allah.
All right, the new magazine about.
So Islam. What can you tell us about Islamic fashion?
Well, mine is not about the Allah, the magazine. It's about the. How Turkey is becoming one of the centers for Islamic fashion in the world because it can mix the... I mean, it's a Muslim country, but it's also more it's near to Europe, so it can mix different styles. And it's quite fashion and modern for the Islamic fashion for other countries. And what I thought very interesting is how the... how they started to make publicity, how the fashion started from little houses and it became such a boom with model fashioning, and you have all these magazines and beautiful ladies in the streets in how do you say that, advertisement in the street. How did it change? What was the change? And that's what I explain mostly in my article.
And what were the example companies or so?
Well, it was Tekbir was mm-hmm. one of them. Yeah. Akel was one of them. Armine, I think mm-hmm. it was yeah. another one. There were more, but I'm a bit. there are so many actually. There are a lot of them. Mm. But for example, those. Are the three or four names that they were more important.
Thank you very much for being with us. Maybe we can continue another time in this year on some of the other issues.
Time
really flew by. For the Spanish speakers among our listeners, which is also, I think, a growing number, the El País website is... is not banned anymore in Turkey?
It wasn't banned. It was El Mundo that was banned.
Ah, okay. That's one of the colleagues here told me that is El País banned or not? Okay, so they both are not banned and it's for free again. So the subscription mm-hmm. that is also finished. So the easiest, if you type Blanca's name, you come to a chronological list and you'll see an impressive list of... diverse topics. Before closing, I want to mention that I sometimes play to your music of a choir that is based in Istanbul. We are looking hard for new singers, especially tenors, sopranos and altos. So if you want to join a classical choir, please refer to Açık Radio. And I'll be back next week. Have a great week. Thanks a lot.
Inside Outside. Türkiye'nin iç ve dış politikası Türkiye'li ve yabancı uzmanlar tarafından yorumlanıyor. Hazırlayan ve sunan Ekrem Edigüzeldere.